Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to go over the Blackhawks' latest game. Actually, last two games. And Matt, man, what was going on during that Ducks game?
Oof, I don't know. It just looked like a late start. And they just didn't show up to that game at all. I honestly was expecting the Hawks to put up the stats, especially Bedard wanting to add that lead to the rookie race for sure against a team like that.
And that did not happen.
No.
But they did come back against the Sharks. And literally that was a comeback win. Kind of like they woke up a little bit. You know, I mean, we got a couple of guys who got recalled back to the main squad. Lucas Reichel is one, playing great since he came back. He looks like he's motivated and I think I sent you that clip and actually you posted that clip before I sent that to you of him with that takeaway trying to create chances in the offensive zone. You know, I like to see that.
And what did he look like to you when he did that?
When he did that,
yep,
he was a little bit of a taser right there.
I think a little bit of Kaner too. I mean, he was playing that puck possession game, and he left the zone. The taser was the defensive play, and then getting in the zone and just kind of playing keep away. And that,
that's what I was mainly thinking. I was mainly thinking of the takeaway. And you know what, man? To be honest with you, I mean, we can give that to Patrick Kane because later on in Patrick Kane's career, he has been, he hasn't been that bad on the defensive side. Make no mistakes, when Patrick Kane is on the ice, he's there to put up points. So, but he will back check. Anyways, another notable call up that has that I've seen make a difference is Wyatt Kaiser. He was on the power play on that Sharks game, I believe, and he was moving the puck pretty well, man. You know, I predicted it that he was going to come out of camp. He was going to surprise a lot of people, and he did. And then he didn't stay up with the main group for a long time. I think he did 10 games or 15 games, and they sent him down so that he can get more experience in Rockford. But he looks pretty good, man. What have you noticed Kaiser at all?
I noticed that he got an assist that game, and that's a good sign when you get called up and you're productive. And I just wish that these younger guys could have got more of a look. You know, I think at the point we're at, I would love to see like Del Mastro and even Nolan Allen, even Colton Dock too. Like, hey, let's give him 10 games. Let's see what we got. You know, but they're probably doing the Reichel approach last year, being very patient, and I get it, but you know, just to excite the fan base at least, because you know, can only get tired of seeing these older guys. Like, nothing against Tyler Johnson, but you know, he's not going to be here when these young guys come up, and I like to be teased a little bit, I guess.
In all honesty, man, you know, the Hawks were essentially out of it in January. You know, I think that they should have been looking, you know, looking towards this, like, okay, when are we going to bring up the kids so that they can get some NHL experience? Sure. You know, you've got the fan base in some ways, you know, they're upset that, you know, the Hawks are losing games. You know, they're upset that, you know, some of these games aren't competitive. But you know what? This is going to be a timely process that of what the Blackhawks are trying to do, and that's grow their team from within. And it's pretty painful. So I don't see why we don't play these younger players now, especially Lucas Reichel. Dude, get this, man. Get this. This is something that I heard from somebody that they said, if Lucas Reichel doesn't produce by the end of the year, let him go. He's another Kirby Dock. It's like, hold on a second here. Kirby Dock had about, how long did he have, man?
Three years, seasons? Right?
Yeah. 3 years. How long has Kurashev had?
And how many times did they send him down? Zero.
Kirby never.
Never played down there.
No.
And, I mean, he probably should have really. His first year. Yes, yeah. I think they made some mistakes with him. And yes, he was upset about, you know, I can't face Nathan MacKinnon. You know, I'm not that guy.
Who can, though?
Yeah, I mean, it's, this year no one can. But, you know, they used him wrong, and you know, I think he's pretty bitter about it. I've said some things about Doc that have kind of come across as mean, but you know, you didn't play that well. You didn't perform here, and you got a lot of chances. And 3 years, he got, you know, I'd like to jump back to Lafreniere in New York. They've been pretty patient with that guy. He's having a career year. It takes time for some guys. And I think if Reichel can find consistency, I think he'll be fine on this team. I get into arguments all the time over him. Like, oh, he's not a top six. He absolutely, on this team, is a top six forward. If you look at that roster, he's a top six guy. And we're not playing for anything. Get the guy out there and get as many looks as you can. Different looks, different scenarios, bad teams, good teams, power play time. I mean, this is the time to do it. And these guys just, it's funny, they preach patience, all these fans, and they have zero patience with Reichel, it seems like. It's kind of frustrating.
It's incredibly frustrating because it's like, here, I'm going to name off some players. We've got, say, Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Sidney Crosby, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Alex Ovechkin, let's go with Mitch Marner, William Nylander, I'll give you Austin Matthews, and let's say Kucherov, okay? I just named off 10 guys, okay? All 10 of these guys are elite. How many other guys try to make it into the NHL and can't, or they need time to develop? Probably 90% of guys. What I just named off is the top 10% of type of players that come into the NHL. And you know, actually, man, maybe 5%. Guys do not come into this league and start producing right off the bat. The only players that do that are generational players and top elite talent. And I don't think people understand that, man. People don't understand how hard it is to come into the league and produce. And I'd like to give Lucas Reichel the benefit of the doubt that he isn't one of these generational type of players, and he's never been built that. He is a regular player, just like everybody else, that needs time to develop. I believe he's 21 years old. And
not even 100 games played in the league.
Not even 100 games played. 80 games played. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no way why we should be giving up on this kid yet and not giving him the time to
get another bridge deal out of him. Grow. Get another 2-3 years out of him.
Why would we not do that? Why would we not at least give him a 3-4 year deal on the cheap so that he can prove himself?
He's young.
It's actually in our best interest too, because what if he develops into that player that we want him to? We've got that guy on a 3-4 year deal for cheap.
Yep.
So that's my gripe, man. I had to get on my soapbox about that.
No, I'm 100% with you on that, because I've been seeing tons of just like miserable people out there. Like,
yeah, they're hard on him.
And I ask him, where were you with Kurashev the last two seasons? He was awful. It took an amazing 18-year-old kid to reignite his little career. And yeah, me and you were pretty tough on Kurashev at the beginning of the year. The guy's going to arbitration? Are you kidding me? This guy's trying to get more money for what? What have you done in this year? Absolutely, one of the top players on the team. He looks good with Bedard. They complement each other very well. And, you know, it took time. You know, I thought the Hawks gave up on Pia Suter too quick. And I thought Suter was better than Kurashev. And, you know what? They let Suter go. And they kept Kurashev, and that was a head scratcher. And you know what? He's fitting in very well with Bedard, and he's putting up some good assist numbers, his career high in points, and it's working out. And you know, maybe you can get him locked up to another cheaper deal, just to kind of see if, hey, maybe this guy will survive the rebuild and be on the club, and when they're competing for a playoff spot.
Here's something. Pia Suter is not even playing for Detroit anymore. I believe he's playing for Vancouver.
I think he's jumped around quite a bit. Yeah. And I thought he was good here when we got those two that year. I think it was the COVID season. You know, there's guys that, you know, that you scratch your head, like even Lincoln, and he's been a good backup with Nashville. And, you know, he's another guy like, wow, that guy didn't survive. But like, we kept Malcolm Subban and
Colin we couldn't Delia. Get rid of him.
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness. And you see all these guys doing well that started here. And it's just like, oh, Panarin is the worst one. You know, I understand he's making big money, but this guy might hit 50 goals, dude. And yeah, I didn't see him being a goal scorer.
Yeah, I think he's on his way down, though. He's 32, and you know, he's not going to be getting any better.
I don't know, man. He's sure playing very well with the Rangers right now. He is the guy.
He is the man there. He is. But, you know, he also has not shown up for them when they've needed him most.
He needs to get rid of that demon this season. I mean, the Rangers, I think they've done a great job in, you know, load management with Shesterkin and getting Jonathan Quick. I think that's been one of the best offseason moves for any team. And it's going to pay off in the playoffs if this guy's well-rested. But like you said, they need the big dogs to show up, like the Breadman and, you know, all those guys. So, I mean, I still think Florida is just so good. I don't know.
Yeah, they are. Richardson wasn't happy with the road trip. He skated the team pretty hard this morning. Today is Monday. 21 straight road losses, and they've been shut out 11 times. You know, I don't know what he's trying to get out of them now. It's March 25th, you know?
Yeah, that's why I said that. No. You know, it's like, yeah, you're playing Captain Hardass now. You know what? I said, hey, that should be your mentality 82 games. Even if you're a rebuilding team, you set the bar like, hey, I know we're not the best team on paper, not even close, but we're going to work every night. We're going to compete. And you know what? To his credit, the beginning of the season, they did play good. The Hawks played hard. They fought hard, but the last couple months, man, there's been some games where it's like, what am I watching? You know, we have two shots on net and we're losing 4-0 in the first period. Yeah. I mean, that's 100% on the coach. Like, come on, put the guys out there that are going to work and, you know, try and battle hard every game. It's just, I think it's very late, you know, so he's not a bad coach. I just think that he's trying to show like, hey guys, I'm still here. I'm the coach and you guys are kind of getting away from me a little bit, but I think it's too late. There's 15 or 10 games left. Yeah.
I'm getting, you know, like the way that he is with Reichel, I'm getting that feeling on how Q was with Nick Leddy, who by the way, just played in this 1000th NHL game. Do you get that vibe at all, man?
Well, I hope not that he's not playing like favorites, you know. I think Q was very, very bad with that. He was just set in his ways. He loved having a veteran defenseman out there. Michael Roosevelt.
Loved Roosevelt, yeah, man.
More important to him than Nick Leddy, which is just insane because Nick Leddy clearly was the better player. Faster. Yeah, he made mistakes. He was kind of a run and gunner. But Michael Roosevelt, there was times where he was skating backwards and he would fall flat on his ass and the other team would score, especially in the playoffs. It's like this guy on the ice on the playoffs was just like, oh, God, you're shaking. And Kimo teaming in too, like, oh, brother, like those guys get the puck. I mean, you better be putting Duncan Keith or Seabrook out with those guys, put them on double duty. But
then you break them up, you know, it's like this isn't working out.
No. And, you know, I think Leddy was, well, he could have been probably like the guy passing the torch, Keith passing the torch to him. But, you know, you got to pay all these guys. And Leddy was good. He was good with the Islanders too. And he's kind of, he's with the Blues now, which sucks. He's with Brandon Saad, and that team's fighting for a spot. But yeah, Leddy, 1,000 games, man. Pretty good trade for Bowman, I will say. Trading Cam Barker, who was another like guy that was overhyped by fans. Oh, and, yeah, you know, Cam Barker is the next guy. And, you know, you trade Leddy and you get Kim Johnson and Nick Leddy, and it was just an absolute steal of a trade. So, and Nick Leddy ended up winning two cups with us, which was very fun. Or, I'm sorry, maybe one cup, right?
13. Yeah, that's right, man. The Blackhawks drafted Cam Barker with the number 3 pick that year.
Yeah, we had some bad picks before Kane and Taves. I mean, well, Jack Skilly was okay. He was projected to be higher, just never really worked out. Cam Barker was a high pick, and it's like, oh my God, these guys were just busting and busting and busting, and thank God for the Kane and Taves days.
You know, what's funny is that actually, that's funny that you bring that up, because I was looking at something of like, if that draft could have been redone.
Oh, I love those.
It was, it was pretty interesting. Yeah. I'll have to find that another time and bring that up. But yeah, it was one of those. It was pretty cool.
I always look back at the Kirby Doc draft year. You know, Jack Hughes would probably still go one.
He's another one. How about his first 2 years in the league?
Oh, exactly. I've said that too. If the Devils gave up on Jack Hughes like the Hawks fans want to do with Reichel, oh, they're going to kick themselves in the asses, because that guy, his third year, he finally got it. You know, and he got his $8 million a year deal, and it's a steal, dude. That's a absolute steal of a contract. That's a huge win for the Devils organization. And the dude scored 40 last year, just missed 100 points. You know, they're fighting for a playoff spot. He's been injured. You know, the whole team's kind of had some goaltending issues, and they're fighting for that last spot. But they're a goalie away from being a scary team. So, and he's leading the charge, man. He's a very good player. And his brother is a very good player, very good defenseman back there. Those guys are going to rip it up for years.
Yeah, man. He's Luke Hughes. He's looking good. He's a rookie, man, and he's playing very, very well. A lot of people, I should say Minnesota, they're really high on Brock Faber. But I'll tell you what, man. Luke Hughes is, he's as billed, I would say.
Oh, yeah. He definitely, I think, is the best defenseman in the class. Faber's having a good year. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why Minnesota's worried about a Rookie of the Year award. I mean, I'd be more focused on making the playoffs.
But it is Minnesota.
And then you're going to talk about plus minus. Come on, I'm sure all those people in Minnesota love Erik Karlsson and all the stuff that he does. And I guarantee you they voted for him to be the best defenseman last year with a minus 1,000. So, dude.
Since you bring that up, let's talk about it. There is a lot of Minnesota fans that are saying that Brock Faber should win the Calder Trophy over Connor Bedard. I would say that Brock Faber has played very well. I think Jarrett Spurgeon went down earlier in the year, and he kind of had to sink or swim, and he swam. And he's been playing very, very well for them. Now, the argument that a lot of people are saying is that he's playing better, his team's going to the playoffs. Bedard, you know, he's not making as big of an impression as Brock Faber. And what I have to say about that is that if you were to take Brock Faber and put him on the Blackhawks, and if you were to take Connor Bedard and put him on the Wild, what do you think would happen to his production playing with Kirill Kaprizov?
Well, let's just start with Faber first. Faber would be sent down to the Rockford Icehawks. And Connor Bedard would probably have 45 goals by now and maybe 60 assists. That's, to your point, I know where you're getting at. Here's all you have to say. Okay, so if I was the GM of the Hawks and I'm calling Billy Guerin, hey, I want to trade you Connor Bedard for Brock Faber. Will you do it? 100 times out of 100 times, Bill Guerin is going to say, yes, I'll take Connor Bedard every time. He's just the better player. I mean, it's all you have to say. It's just, come on, people. It's two different positions. It's hard to compare. I think plus minus is very important for a defenseman more than it is for a forward. I do respect the guys, the Selke-like guys, that love the two-way game and pride themselves with good plus-minus, but guys like Bedard, you know, over time, when he's got better players around him, he's going to probably be getting like a plus-20, plus-30, just because he's going to be on the ice for tons of points and goals and stuff.
Yeah.
But defenseman, it's you got to be a plus player, in my opinion, to be talked about. And it's kind of a disgrace that guys like Karlsson are getting Norris trophies. Yeah, getting points is great, but I know you're finishing minus. It just shows you're not good at the position you just won an award for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense to me. I think that we always talk about this. Keep your Norris trophy for your most offensive, you know, forward points or your defensive points, and then make the Lindstrom trophy for the best all-around defenseman. So guys like, you know, Fox and Cale Makar and Victor Hedman can win the award fair, not just because Eric Carlson gets a shit ton of assists. It just it's just not fair.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. 100%, man. You know, I think that, you know, the Norris Trophy should be named something different, or they should have two trophies, one for offensive production and another for defensive play.
The Nicholas Jarmelson blocking award. That would be, he deserves it.
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, 100%, dude. I think that, you know, Bedard, and you know, he's also 3 years younger than Brock Faber is. So imagine Brock Faber at 18. You know, comparing him to...
He wouldn't even be in the league. It's just defensemen usually are late. Goalies are very late. And 18-year-old forwards can just hop on, you know, if you're that good. And you don't really see young defensemen, you know, get drafted. And like Mo Sider, I think, what was he? Was he 20 last year? Or he won the Rookie of the Year. I think he was young.
He got into a fight yesterday.
And he... Yeah, oh gosh, that was a great fight. Philip Forsberg, too, of all people.
Yeah.
That's a weird tilt. And I gave it to Mo, man. He was throwing some haymakers in there. John Scott was saying it was the fight of the year, in his opinion.
Really?
It was a good fight, man. I like seeing guys that, you know, don't drop them a lot. And they were swinging pretty well.
Oh, yeah. I think Rempe had some good ones.
Oh, yeah, Rempe. Rempe's been good. I think it was overhyped a little bit, the Ryan Reeves, but it was must-see TV. Yeah. I watched that whole game just because of that.
Yeah. But yeah, it was, I think he took a slash or something. Sider was pissed, dude.
Yeah, dude, he's such a good defenseman. They really lucked out, and Yzerman applaud him for the great scouting. I think he was drafted 11th, and he probably should have been top three.
Yeah, in that draft class,
sure.
Zach Hyman and Sam Reinhardt hit 50 goal plateau. And, you know, this is nice, man. We've got some guys. We're not talking about the usual suspects hitting goals. Yeah, I know Matthews was probably going to hit 70. But it's nice to get some new names up there of guys who are getting some really good offensive production out there. Zach Hyman and Sam Reinhardt. I think they asked Zach Hyman if he would be hitting 50 if he was still with Toronto, and he's like, no way.
Yeah, he wouldn't be getting the time. Yeah, I find it funny. Those Leafs fans were very tough on that kid. They're still tough on him. They're saying that his goals aren't like legitimate, and they're showing like him going to the net, just greasy goals, you know? And in the end, if the puck crosses a line, there's no category on what type of goal you scored. It's a goal. So they're just bitter that he went to Edmonton, and he's been great there. I think he scored 40 last year. He's hitting 50 this year, and McDavid absolutely loves the guy. So
yeah, he does.
That's what they needed. They needed depth help, and, you know, still think they're a goalie away, but maybe they can make some noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, especially if Chris Kreider's doing the same thing in New York, how are you going to fault Zach Hyman in Edmonton? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean... Zach Hyman is one of the most likable players in the league. I was listening to the radio this morning, and all the hosts were saying like they can't even find like any negativity about the guy. He's just super liked wherever he goes, and he's a great off ice guy. He's good with kids and stuff, and I'm happy for the guy. I mean, that was such a great signing for Kenny Holland and the Oilers, and it's good, man. I'm glad like we're seeing new faces. Like you said, usually it's Ovi. You know, it was Ovi's time, and it's like, who's Ovi going to compete against, you know, getting his Rocket Richard? And now it's like Matthews, and you got these guys kind of coming in like Pasternak. He's got, he was close last year. He's got 44 this year. McKinnon's got 44. Panarin, 43, which is surprising. Cooch is at 41. Braden Point's hit 50 before he's at 41. So there's a chance, man, that some of these guys, if they get hot, we could see like 10, 50 goal scorers this year.
That'd be great.
It's insane. And like you said, Matthews, he's at 58. He's going to hit 60 for sure. 70 is going to be pretty tough. They got 69 games played, but hey, it can happen, man. He's had a couple hat tricks this season, and he shoots on command. So we could see some huge goal scoring numbers.
Check this out, man. The last wild card spot in the East is up for grabs. Tampa's separating from the pack with the first wild card spot. But at the end, we've got the Capitals currently hold the second. The Wings, Isles, Devils, and Sabres are fighting to the death. And check this out. At the top of that, we have 8 other teams that are 1 point away from the top to getting that President's Trophy. Oof. The one at the top, I think, has 98 points. The one in position number 8 is at 97.
Dude, it's crazy. And you know what's crazy to me? The Capitals, man. Where the heck did they come from?
They came out of nowhere, man. They turned they're same thing with the Predators. Predators too. They're trying to this is a Predators MO. They always do this.
They get
every
hot,
single year. You know, it's the like Fugazis. It's like the tale of it's like the tale of two seasons, dude. And the beginning of the season and the second end of the season. They're even trying to put Roman Josi into the Norris Trophy candidate spot right now, talking about between him and Makar and Quinn Hughes and to be honest with you, I don't think that Roman Josi should even be in the conversation when we're talking about Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar, because both of those guys have been playing out of their minds since game one of the season. And Josi is having a good second half of the season. He's trying to sneak in there.
Yeah, Quinn Hughes, it's going to be, it's between Hughes and Makar, like you said. I mean, yeah, he's a great defenseman, but I think it's Quinn Hughes' year, and I'm glad to see an American defenseman light it up like he's doing. And the whole family, dude, they're just, are they like the new Sutters, you think?
I wonder what's in the water. I think they're better than Sutters, to be honest with you. Yeah.
There's no Hughes brother.
You know? No, there's no.
They're all producers.
Yeah. Maybe they got a cousin or something that's a grinder, but as far as the brothers, all three of them are studs.
I think Quinn
was mentioning how they were talking about how they train in the off season, and he was laughing, and he says that Lukey really gets into Jack's hair. He says his style of defending, drives his brother nuts. So
they had some good little clips I saw. I think Jack got 2 goals the other night, and they were asking Luke about it. He goes, "Oh, I didn't know that." And then they asked Jack about his 2 assists. He goes, "Oh, is that right?" Like they were just like, just business, you know?
Yeah. 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 It's pretty cool, man. They're all obviously Quinn's the big, the big swinging Richard of the family.
Yeah. But dude, think about this. So you got the Hughes brothers on the back end. You got Jack and the Tkachuks on the side. That's a crazy USA lineup, isn't it? Like line. If you, maybe you could fill in other guys, but I think that would be a pretty interesting line. You got like just skill, and then you got grit and gritty brothers that could put the puck in the net, and then you got, you got
some finesse,
2-way defenseman in Luke, a good solid guy, and then you got Quinn, who is just an absolute stud play driver, Brian Campbell like guy, maybe even better. Which is cool. It's something to think about.
He's playing both ends of the ice really well this year, Quinn is.
Yeah, Quinn, even Luke. And they were saying, like, hey, if he didn't get hurt, he could have been giving Bedard a run for the Calder Trophy, because he was playing well, and the Devils just dropped, and it got bad after that Hawks game, ironically.
Yeah.
They tried to be like the Chiefs.
The Thunderdome.
Yeah, the Chiefs, the Hansons. They changed their name to the Hansons, not the Hugheses. So.
It's like, these guys aren't going anywhere. You guys are headed to the playoffs.
Yeah,
you
let's
know?
Break
guys,
Bedard's jaw, and let's just keep flexing our muscles. And, I tore my shoulder off. And then that was it. That was the Devil's season.
It was. So who do you think is going to take that last spot? The Wings, Isles, Devils, or the Sabres?
So I was talking to a follower of ours, Dirty Third, good guy. He's got a good blog out there I like to read. He thinks Detroit, and I agreed with him, and we were both saying, you know, we'd like to see Kaner take that, you know, get in the playoffs again and, you know, have success, but, you know, kind of want him to lose, so maybe there's a possibility of him coming back, but... Yeah, I think Detroit, they had a good game against the Islanders, and they kind of sent a message to him. Patrick Waugh, they got beat. Waugh pulled a goalie with like 5 minutes left, and it just got worse, you know. And I'm just surprised with the Caps, But I think there's going to be a little swapping. I think Detroit's going to find their way in. Probably get bounced by the Panthers first round.
I am going to go with, I think Buffalo, man. I'm going to go with something a little different. I think Buffalo might turn it on and make it in. You know, getting Bo Byram in that trade, they've got a very young, a very talented blue line, man, that this team, I think, is going to be a very sneaky good in the future. But I think that there's a possibility that they could possibly sneak into that last spot.
I mean, they're I think they're, what, 5-6 points back from the Caps right now. And yeah, Bo Byram he's been a stud since he's been acquired by them at the deadline. And you know, you got, if you think of it, it's Buffalo, Jersey, Isles, Wings, Caps. It can change at any time. Like, it just takes a 2-game winning streak or a 2-game losing streak to flip all these teams around a little bit. And Philly's dropping too, man. They're at 81 points. So, and they're holding the top three in the Metro. And obviously the Rangers and Carolina, no one's going to catch them. And Florida, 97, Boston, 97. Those are like the powerhouses. The Leafs are, you know, they're up there with 89 too. But if you look at Tampa, I mean, they might be able to catch those guys the way that they're playing too. Tampa really woke up that trade with Duclair. Former Blackhawk, former every other team, but he's got a point in every game he's been playing for them. So
he's got 7 games played, 5 goals, 4 assists, man. That's really impressive he's really putting up some numbers there in Tampa.
Don't count Tampa out. Vasilevsky's finding his game too, and they're just super fun to watch.
Yeah. Here's another good one, man. Sean Moynihan, since arriving in Winnipeg, he's got 8 goals and 7 assists. 15 points in 23 games. That's serious production for him.
Yeah. Didn't he get traded at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I believe he did.
Yeah, he's been a good fit.
He's got some health issues.
I just don't know about those guys. I thought the Jets they're probably the best defensive team in the game, they're saying right now. Maybe the numbers and stuff, but I don't know, man. They don't really scare me like the Panthers or even the Rangers, but we know the Rangers kind of choke a little bit, but I think the Panthers made a lot of noise last year and they got guys scoring on command. And I want to go back to Reinhardt because he got 50 yesterday, open netter, but like I said, it doesn't matter how it's crossed the goal line. It's a goal. And you got to think like, hey, Buffalo, he wasn't getting those numbers and he's playing with Barkov now. That's got it. I mean, this guy makes players better. Like, obviously, he made Huberto way better because he's having a horrible season with, you know, ever since he's been traded, he hasn't, you know, been the same player. And you got to credit, you know, Sasha Barkov. He just makes these players so good. And Reinhardt's a free agent. I think he's going to get paid big bucks, but he should consider, hey, I'm playing with Barkov right now. This guy is making me a great player. I should stick around. I think the best fit for him would be to stay, but he could probably go get paid if he wanted to. He's probably going to get close to 8-9 million, I think. I think that's fair, but if he tested, maybe even more.
Well, cool, man. GM meetings over the ideas of possession once the puck enters the zone. What do you got on that?
So, yeah, I listened to Coolius on NHL XM, and he had a great take on it in an idea. I think they were discussing it, but nothing's like set in stone. So you know how it is. You win that first faceoff, that's huge. You could kind of control everything. And if you don't like it, if you're skating in the blue line, you're skating in their zone, you turn around and you kind of regroup and change and get fresh legs. I guess the idea is, so once you cross the blue line and, you know, you can't leave with the puck like that. They're going to blow the whistle and you get a face. They got to, you know, they do a face off in your zone and you can't change. It's kind of like an icing type of thing. I kind of like that idea. And I think that'll kind of prevent teams like, you know, like the better puck possession teams from kind of just controlling the whole play. Like the Blackhawks, like if someone won a face off against us, we're done. There's no doubt about it. We're done. We're not getting the puck, especially like if it's like a powerhouse kind of team. But I think it's a good idea. They're trying to they're trying to keep it, you know, where a team could get a chance to get the puck again rather than, you know, one team holding it for five straight minutes or holding it until they score.
Wow. So
who knows?
So no team
could work.
Yeah. No team shootout over there.
So yeah, no. I think they're. It's kind of like fighting in the NHL. They're not going to ban it, but I think they don't like it. So they're trying to do everything they can to get rid of it without actually saying we're getting rid of it.
So, yeah, I always liked the shootout.
But I enjoyed the shootout. I get it. I enjoyed it at the beginning.
Yeah, I did too. I did too, especially when you've got Kaner and
Taves. You've got Taves that's shooting, what, 60% or something?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
They could come up with ideas. Like, I think this guy, what's the goalie analytics guy in the Rangers? I forget his name, I'm blanking, but he suggested like a shot clock, like if you're in the zone or something. But I think that would be too hard to, you know what I mean? That would be too hard to regulate, I guess. It's like, what? Okay, 1 second left on the shot clock, I'm going to shoot it. Then what? You know, it's not basketball. So there's ideas for it. I think that's a good start, getting in the zone. If they pull out of the zone to regroup, blow the whistle, they get a face-off in their own zone, they can't change. I think it's pretty cool. The other team could get fresh legs and take advantage of it. It's a good start, I think.
Well, alright, everybody, that's all that we got for you this week. Do us a favor, let us know what you think, if you want to change the overtime rules, and if so, what would you want to change it to? This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.